kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I have a title today for our teaching, and it's called Our Preaching and Affirmation of the Gospel is Not Empty Words. Our preaching and affirmation of the Gospel is not empty words. And I'm taking this today from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, it's actually verse 14, but I'm going to take it up from verse 12. From verse 12, which says, Now if Christ is preached that he has been risen from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Now, this is interesting what the apostle is raising here. Of course, we know that they were questioning about the resurrection, life after, had Christ really risen from the dead, and so on. Well, we still have that raised today, and it's still a question. But if you note in verse 19, it says also, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. And many believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they talk about the Lord and so on, but there's very little mention about what he achieved at Calvary, rising from the dead, giving us eternal life. And we have to hold on. That is our preaching. That is the affirmation of the gospel. We have to make that, with the cross, the focal point. Sinners, those in sin, need to realize that their sins are not only dealt with at Calvary and that there is forgiveness, but that we have eternal life also. It is about resurrection. Else it says that our faith is futile. What is the point of believing? So our faith in the Word of God must always be motivated to something that points out into the future, into eternity. And it's about resurrection. It's about eternal life. This is why I'm always saying that faith is, in many ways, our walk of faith each day is walking out of this life into eternity. That is really what our faith walk is about. Whether we live in the flesh or whether we are out of the flesh, it's really irrelevant to our walk of faith. And that is what is going to happen. Our walk of faith, total walk, is going to enable us to walk out of this life into eternity. Because faith is going to get us to be ready when Christ comes in the clouds to call us up. So we need to see that our faith is a lot more. And yes, we put our faith in the promises of God. And these promises inherit now in this life. But we have to see that there's even more to our gospel. And that is that faith walks and eventually walks out of this life into eternity, because it is about the resurrection that Christ achieved for us at the cross. And so we read here that the apostle is going to base his faith, our faith, that Christ is risen. And that is the reason why we preach the good news of the gospel. It's about eternal life. You see, in this chapter, he speaks about the last enemy, that is death, to be destroyed. And it is, and it will be. He also speaks about the resurrection and its effects upon the world, upon the Christian, upon its message, that we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we have all these glorious promises, and these bodies will be changed and glorified, and death will be swallowed up. This is a great chapter to read. If you are doubting the faith, or you're doubting what God has done and will do, you read this chapter. It's all about resurrection. What we are walking toward each day. We are today closer than we were yesterday to resurrection, which is the eternal promise that Christ has provided for us at the cross. And this is why I'm calling this teaching today, our preaching and affirmation of the gospel is not empty or empty words. Far from it. This is why we have to go to the cross, because at the cross everything was achieved there, and sinners have to hear the message of the cross. And too often the enemy tries to get us sidetracked, where we start to speak a lot of empty words, worthless words. When you come back to the cross, its message, then God anoints it and empowers it. And this is why we're not always seeing what we're seeing today in the Christian church, true converts. We must never lose sight of the power of the cross, the gospel. It's our spiritual sword that divides the powers of darkness. This is why the devil doesn't like the cross. And this is why the apostle said, I boast only in that which is the cross. Because he knew that was the sword of the Spirit. And he knows the enemy cannot counterfeit that. He cannot fight against that. That is what weakens Satan, because Christ triumphed over him at the cross. And that is our message. You see, all that God addresses to us in the deeper life is the message of the cross. And what does it do? It divides powers of darkness. It not only divides the powers of darkness, but it challenges unbelief. And this is why we open our minds, don't we, to doubt and fear. And our faith is under attack, and it's challenged by the powers of darkness. Because we're opening our minds to other things. And so when we're called upon to share why we're believers, this is what we aim for, the cross of Jesus Christ. Then God will anoint it, because he only has the power to draw men and women unto himself. But he cannot draw men and women unto himself unless the cross where sin was dealt with can be preached and shared. God isn't going to anoint what he has not decreed. Remember that. And that will save a lot of frustration and heartache and wondering, you know, well, why was it they didn't respond? Why didn't they hear? Why weren't they interested and so forth? Because you didn't do it God's way. You thought you could do it. You thought you could say it with your own words and your understanding. But you see, that isn't enough. We need to be anointed. God has placed the unction of the Spirit. It's not just for a preacher. I have to totally depend on that. But it's also the principle for us as well. And this is why we stay with the deeper life, because this is what it's all about. But too often we allow our minds to be cluttered with other things, and then it's doubt and fear. And then our faith is under its challenge. And the powers of darkness just have a field day. This is something that God is teaching us in this assembly. And we've really got to take this on board. What is it saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So that's what we have to put on. We're not going to know otherwise. We too often sympathize with sinners. Not the emotions to get in the way. Because we identify with their lives. We identify what they're sinning in and what they're doing. Oh, that was me. That was how I used to walk. You never hear Jesus. You never heard the early church or the apostles ever work in that way and manner. No, we have to put on the mind of Christ. If ever sinners in this world are going to hear the good news of the gospel. We know also, just passing with Romans 12 and verse 2, he says, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And so this word, this sword of the Spirit, is what renews our minds so that we can discern and discern what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We have got to learn what is acceptable before Almighty God, and what we're saying at times and our witnessing is not acceptable, and that's why they don't respond. God makes it very clear how we approach the sinners in the world and even your own family that you're believing and praying for. And here is what he says he does. He renews our mind. And you say to me, well, Pastor, my mind needs renewing. Well, you're in the right place then. God's brought you here today because he's renewing your mind. He's doing it right now. We are having a different thinking, a different attitude. It's like suddenly you say, oh, and now I see it. How can I be so blind? That's wonderful when God does that, because that's one of the greatest healings and deliverances that we can have. When we begin to see it by the Spirit, and not in the flesh and the emotions, makes a huge difference. And what about Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That is the renewing of the mind through the Word of God. And he says we meditate on these things. That's why it's so good to go over these teachings, to listen to them again and again if need be, so that it renews the mind. We meditate upon it, and yes, we pray over it as well. You see, the only way we have understanding of the teachings of Jesus is through the light of the Spirit of God shining in our hearts. That is the only way to know and understand, is God's Spirit shining in my heart. It has to be in the heart that the seed is sown. You see, those who are just flippant or merely casual over God's Word, who don't really take it seriously, I question their stand before God. I question whether they have the Spirit of God, the light of God's Spirit in their hearts, because they are the clear signs. For example, we know this in the Gospel of John. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John 6 and verse 63, and he says, if it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words speak to you are spirit, they are life. We have to receive this word in the Spirit. If you are receiving it just in the flesh, the mind, you will become offended. And that's why many reject it. We have two ways of hearing. It's either in the flesh or in the Spirit. And that's why we have Romans 8, which is talking about walking in the Spirit. It's receiving it in the Spirit. And how do we receive it? We receive it in the heart, the parable of the sower. And God works on our hearts, doesn't he? Changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Working on our wills so that we will to do his pleasure. In other words, obeying what he says. But here it is, our Lord gives the principle here of how one hears. And so these words have to become spirit and life to us. And this is why he speaks this way, and not by visions and dreams, but by his word. Now, we can have a vision and a dream, but that isn't going to go contrary to his word. That's the point. You see, when someone gets to God, it's by the most simple way. And you know what that way is? Words. God knows how to get to us, how to get into the inner man, the heart. It's by words. It always has been. God spoke to Adam and Eve when he created them in the garden. Speak words. The word of God is God's words to us. The preaching of the gospel under the unction of the anointing is God's words to us. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. We make it so complicated, but its actual fact is so simple. We're all called to share, to preach the word, and to not compromise with it. And again, that can be our problem, because we allow emotions or fear and unbelief to get in the way. But what does it say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Why is he stressed this? Because he says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. In other words, rubbish. So we have to be ready in season and out in season. And God shows the way that he teaches us, because he says there's going to come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. And we're living in that time. Many of them don't want sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. There it is. The self has got in the way. Flesh has got in the way. Because they've taken their eyes off the cross of Calvary. The cross has become an offense. It's not good news anymore to them. This is why we make so much of the cross, because we know the cross deals with the self-life. It gets us out of the way. And we're going to thank God for this, you know. We really, really are. You see, this is the mind and wisdom of God, what he's revealing to us, how this is achieved. Praise God. And he shows very clearly both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, all need to hear this gospel. It's not just for a few, it is for all people, all men. This gospel, whoever they may be. We know this in Romans 10, verses 11 to 17. Romans 10, verses 11 to 17, he says, for the scripture says, whoever believes will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And so it goes on. So there we are. That's why we pray for the harvest. We pray for the laborers, that they will be anointed, that they will go preaching the cross of Jesus Christ, and that they will be faithful to that teaching and not deviate in any way, because we're told the harvest is plentiful. So what is the problem? It's those that are sent is the problem, because they're not hearing as they should be. Self gets in the way, and this is why we have to come back to the cross. It will deal with self that is the hindrance, the gospel being preached. It is a real problem. You know, as we just go back to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 5, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 5, he says, for I consider that I am not at inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I'm untrained in speech, yet I'm not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifest among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself, that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages then ministers to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to you to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being a burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of care. Why? Because I do not love you. Because I do not love you, God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself is transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing of his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose ends will be according to their works. You see, he's trying to put them at ease. He's trying to reveal and show them that I've not been a burden to you. I have not put myself upon you in any way. He's been the least of all of them, even though he is the apostle. And he shows how ministers should be in their conduct and how they should minister. And he's that example of that, so that he can cause them to be able to discern, to be able to look, to understand. They're not sure whether they really are of the Spirit, whether they're really of God or not. But I go back to what I say so often in the Gospel of John. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and they will know. But we see in this chapter how the apostle was so different from other false apostles. And we see the same principles that happens today. Self last. He knew words were not just enough. It had to take the anointing. It had to take the death of the self-life for the words to be empowered, to affect and to change lives. It is no different today. He even went a step further and bore the marks in his body for the sake of the preaching of the gospel, you see. So I go back to the cross. This is what the cross will do. It will make our words anointed. That God will bless and anoint. Whether we're sharing, whether we're speaking to sinners, or whatever it is. We cannot get away from the cross. That is the good news of the gospel. That is what they need to hear. That is what deals with sin. The power of the cross creates a new life in them. And the apostle knew this. And he was willing to go as far as he could in his walk, even to bear the marks in his own body, and he did. Wow. I mean, that is just amazing. What a determination. He had determined to boast in one thing, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. To such a point that he bore the marks of it as well. As I close with this, there is a cost for each of us to be entrusted and empowered with God's word. God wants to empower your words, and he's showing you that he's going to entrust you with his word, but you have got to do it his way. And it is the cross. And when you do it God's way, as the apostle had determined to do it, and those early Christians as well, This is what turns the world upside down. You will know where a saint's heart is by what comes out of their mouth. What comes out of our mouths when we're talking to non-believers, those who do not know Christ. What is coming out of our mouths? That is a good test, a good example. Yes, it speaks to me as well. But our faith reaches out, doesn't it, and says, Lord, whatever this takes, work this in me for your glory. And I know this will change as my boasting is in the cross of Jesus Christ. We do not take our eyes off the cross because it is the death and resurrection. It is our faith walk. Everything stems from the cross, because if it isn't the cross, our gospel is in vain. Jesus is in vain. And you are not preaching resurrection. So therefore there's no hope. So it's quite simple, really. And yet look how the enemy tries to avert our minds away from the power of God to change a life. Hallelujah. But we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are entrusting us with your precious word. And as the title says, our preaching and affirmation of the gospel is not empty words. You are anointing and empowering these words because our words line up with your word. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your Spirit, Lord. And you will do it, because you get all the glory. And we thank you, Father, that there is a harvest out there, and it's going to be reaped, and is being reaped. And we thank you, Father, for the salvation, yes, of our families, our loved ones, our spouse, our children. We thank you, Father, that they are saved in Jesus' name, according to your word. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve, keep each one of us till we assemble again. For this we ask now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let him in constancy follow.